title of this message this morning is, "You're a sheep. Act like one." Now that's the case if you're already a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've heard His good news, well, you got to hear the bad news first. If you've heard the bad news and you've acknowledged your own sinfulness and you've realized that there's no hope for you with this sin, that God's Word says the penalty is death and hell and you can't be good enough and you could never be good enough to get to heaven. And if you've realized that bad news first and then you've heard the good news that God did it all for you and He made a way for you so you can come to heaven and He sent Jesus who was God in the flesh and the Son of God and that He came for you and that He took all your bad and all your sins upon Himself and He went to that cross and He took your punishment so you don't have to take it. And He died. He experienced your death penalty, death and hell. He experienced it for you. My God, why have you forsaken me? He did it all for you. He lived the perfect life you could never live. And He died your death and He took your punishment on that cross. Paid for your sins, made atonement, as the Word of God tells us, for your sins. And then on the third day, He was raised from the dead. And if you've heard that good news and then you've repented, you've turned from yourself and anything you're trying to do to earn God's favor or get yourself to heaven or anything like that, you've turned away from that and you've turned totally to Him and what He's done for you. And you've said, "Lord, I put all my faith in You. I trust You and what You've done for me to save me from my sins. Save me, Jesus. Come into my life." And if that's been you, a spiritual transaction has taken place, and Jesus described it in John chapter 3 as you've been born again. And now the Spirit of God lives in you, and your spirit, which was dead in your trespasses and sins, you were dead to God. You couldn't communicate with God. You had a dead spirit, has now been made alive. You've been given a new heart. The Bible says you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are gone. Behold, all things are new. And then if it really happened, you'll start seeing fruit in your life. There'll be a lot of evidence of it. You'll want to get baptized. You'll get baptized. You'll start reading God's Word. You'll start wanting to commune with Him and fellowship with Him. You'll start wanting to obey Him and follow Him. You'll start wanting to share Him with other people. And different things. And you'll start to see love in your life. See, God produces this fruit if He's really in you. He produces love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And you're His sheep. You have become His sheep. And so if that's you and if that's me, we need to act like we're His sheep. We need to act like one. And if that's not you, that can be you. Before I finish my next sentence, that could be you. All you have to do is believe everything I just said. Believe what the Lord is telling you and just surrender to Him and say, "Jesus, I'm yours. I give you all that I am. Save me. Come into my life." And then you're His sheep too. Is that simple? He said, don't complicate. We need to change and become like little children to receive what He has for us. So you're a sheep. Act like one. I heard it said earlier this week, and that when you walk by a mirror, for just about everybody, when you walk past a mirror, it's very difficult not to look at yourself. We have this narcissistic, I don't know what it is, but if you pass by a mirror, 9 times out of 10, you're going to look at yourself. You're going to glance at yourself. And the question is, what do you see? What do you see when you look in that mirror? When you stare in the mirror, what do you see? Do you see somebody who's not worth much? A failure, messing everything up, not deserving anything, not good at anything, not measuring up. Do you see things like that? Do you see the lies of the devil? That perhaps he has used through different influences in your life. Maybe you had a parent or a grandparent or a teacher or friends or peers or people you respected, and they told you these lies of the devil. You're nothing. You're not worth anything. I don't know what they said, but you know what? Sometimes if we're not careful, we believe those lies and we walk in front of a mirror and look, we might see some of that, those lies, and we might actually believe them. But you see, that's not God's plan. You see, when we look in the mirror, we need to see truth. No human being has the truth on you. No human being can tell you, here's who you are, here's what you're like, this is you. No human being has judgment and authority or anything like that. The only place of truth is God, God Almighty. When you look in the mirror, you need to see truth. You need to say, how does God see me? God, how do you see me? That's the only thing that's true, not what anybody says. Just, how do you see me? And that's truth. And that's truth. And how does He see you? Fearfully and wonderfully made, unique, the only one that can be like you. You're fearfully made. It's like the word means like a bow down worship, where if somebody saw the Lord's work on you and He finished His masterpiece, which is you, it's a reverence. It's like a get down on your knees and, wow, look at this creation. Look at this person. This is really something. And then when you become His child, you're a child of the King. And you're a sheep. And you're a sheep. And so when you look in the mirror, you need to see a sheep. You need to see somebody dependent on the shepherd who's told you how wonderful you are. And then you need to act like it. Because you will act like what you see in that mirror. If you see somebody worthless, you're going to act like it. You're going to act like you're somebody worthless. You're going to just live out that lie. But if you see what God sees, this incredible, fearfully, wonderfully unique, made child of the King of the universe, and a sheep, a follower, dependent on the Lord, you'll act like that. So look at Psalm 23. Let's look at how God says we are to relate to Him. Now David, when he was a shepherd, he spent a lot of time with his sheep. And so God gave him this beautiful picture saying, David, in the same way that you care for these sheep, that's how I care for you. I'm your shepherd king. You're like a sheep, David. And of course, God gave it for all of us. It's for all of us. This is how God relates to us. So it says this in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's how you're to relate to God. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. My sheep know me, and He's your shepherd. If you're a follower of His, if you've put your faith in Him, He's your good shepherd and you are a sheep. So how can you act like it? How can you see yourself as a sheep and know that you're His sheep, and then how can you act like it? Well, first of all, you need to know this. You are guided. And so act like it. You are guided as His sheep. So act like it. Look at that. That's what we see in the first three verses. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. We mentioned it a little bit earlier in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. The good news is a shepherd takes wonderful care of the sheep that he cares for and that he loves, these sheep. And it's been said of the ancient shepherds that the sheep would actually know. He would have names for them and that they would, he would know them by name and that they would know his voice. And that there might be able to be two flocks together, intermingled. And early in the morning when the shepherd would come out, maybe he'd go into one of the areas where all the sheep were, and he'd do this guttural call, and he could call his sheep, and only his sheep would come. They knew his voice, and the other ones wouldn't. The other ones would wait on the other shepherd. They knew his voice. Because he took such good care of them, he would lead them. He wouldn't drive them. He wouldn't drive the sheep. He would lead them and they would follow. Because he would take wonderful care of them. And so, sheep being the dumb animals that they are, and God comparing us to sheep is not a compliment. They're totally dependent on the shepherd. They can't make it on their own. I don't know how long they'd make it if there was no shepherd. They are dependent on that shepherd for their very needs to sustain their lives. They are dependent on the shepherd for guidance and protection and provision. And so the shepherd takes great care. And in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. David says, I shall not be in want. A sheep has no reason to want anything else because the shepherd is already taking the best possible care of him. And that's the word for you and for me. You are guided. Act like it. Verse 1 is kind of a summary of the whole thing. The Lord is your shepherd. He's my shepherd. There's no reason to be in want. And yet how often do we desire other things and want other things? We need to just go to Him and look to Him for all of our needs. He'll take the best possible care. He'll take better care of you than you could ever take for yourself. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Look at His guidance in verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. The shepherd would take the sheep to, he would look through the wilderness until he found the best possible greenery and the green pastures for the sheep to feed on, to graze in, and to lay down in. He would find the best for them. That's what's going on with you. That's what's going on with me, with the Lord. He makes you lie down in green pastures. God looks for the best for you. He finds the best possible things for you. The green pastures represent flourishing life. That's what God looks for you and makes you lie down in that. He leads you to that. He leads you to the best in life. The question is, are you following Him? You may say, my life's not the best. I got all these things are terrible. Well, hold on, look at all those things. Were you following the shepherd the whole time? Were you got where you are? You see, it's when we're in the flock. It's when we're following the shepherd. He leads us, if we're following Him, to the green pastures, to the best in life. And we can get off course. We can leave the flock. We can wander away. And then He's got to bring us back, and we got to come back. But where He leads, if we're following Him, is always the best. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. You know, the sheep are very timid and they like the still, quiet waters. He finds those and he lets them drink and be refreshed with those quiet waters. That's what he's doing for you and for me. He's guiding us to the best places to sustain us. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. The shepherd is always guiding the sheep. The sheep don't decide what they're going to do and where they're going to go. And that would be to wander off. The sheep just stay focused on the shepherd and stay close at his heels. And he guides them in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Your good shepherd is guiding you in paths of righteousness. There again, it's up to you whether you follow or not and how close you stay to him and how you live by faith following him. But he leads you to, he guides you in paths of righteousness. He leads you in the best ways, the ways of righteousness. Why? For his namesake. You know, when we follow him in the paths of righteousness, when we follow close at his heels, he is honored. He is glorified. For his name's sake, he takes great pleasure in you as you follow close at his heels. And then all that will result from your life, the fruit that will come from your life, it brings him honor and glory. He guides you in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So, you are a sheep. Act like one. Being a sheep, you are guided. So act like it. Next, you are protected. As a sheep, you are protected. So act like it. Look at verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You see, the shepherd had a rod and he would use that to count the sheep and to point to the sheep. And he would also use it to beat away any enemies, bears, wolves, anything that would come to threaten the sheep, that would try to destroy the sheep. He would use that rod and beat those things away. And he had a staff that he would use. And if a sheep had fallen into a crevice in the earth, he could use that staff and that crook in that staff and pull that sheep out. He could use that staff to guide the sheep, to keep them in bounds, keep them in the flock, keep them where they needed to go. And those things bring me comfort. He protects you. If you're his sheep, you are protected. And so act like it. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Well, that's good news to me. It says, even though I walk through the valley of the... Even if I mess up, even if I get off course, and I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Even though I walk through some bad and some dark places and some scary places, even though you do that, I will not... fear. I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. The good shepherd is with you. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You have the God of the universe, Almighty God, on your side. No matter what you go through, he's your good shepherd. There's nothing more powerful than him. The greatest evil in the world that there is Satan himself. And Satan is God's lackey. He can't do anything. He was a good angel named Lucifer in the beginning that God created, and then he fell and he became Satan. And sometimes people think there's this dualism and there's good versus evil and Satan and God. And that's ridiculous. Satan can't do anything unless God allows him to. He's nothing. He does not have... God is so much more powerful. And he is your shepherd. So whatever evil you face, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. It's the same promise that Joshua received when Moses had been leading all of God's people, and then Moses died, and God was now commissioning Joshua to lead all of his people. And in Joshua chapter 1, God is getting Joshua ready to lead all of his people, and it's going to be a big job. It's going to be a big, scary task. And over in chapter 1, God tells Joshua, "Do not be afraid. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous." And God tells him, "Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged." Why? "For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." You see, you can face anything with Him if you know that He's with you. Whatever it is, if you know the Good Shepherd is with you, you can be strong and courageous. "For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." So if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. If you're a sheep this morning, you're guided, so act like it. You're protected, so act like it. And finally, you're provided for. You are provided for, so act like it. Look at verses 5 and 6. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You are provided for. And so act like it. In verse 5, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." So think about that. Even before your enemies, whatever your enemies are, whoever your enemies are, or maybe your enemies are more of a spiritual nature, your spiritual enemies, or the things that cause you to stumble, the things that cause you to fall, whatever they are, you can look at your Good Shepherd and say, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Whenever all my enemies come against me, whenever everything comes against me, my Good Shepherd, you just lay out a table before me. A table is a nice, peaceful place that you can just sit down and eat. How could you sit down calmly and just eat in front of your enemies with your enemies all around you? But that's what you can do with your Good Shepherd. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." You can sit down and eat that beautiful banquet God has for you, even in the presence of your enemies. "You anoint my head with oil." That's what would be done to an honored guest in these times. When you had an honored guest at your table, you would anoint their head with oil. That's what God does for you. You're His honored guest when He sets that table for you in life, and He anoints your head with oil because you're His sheep. "My cup overflows." That's abundance right there. You know how it is. You ever been to a restaurant and every now and then you get a real good waiter or waitress that just keeps that water filled? You might have 3 sips and it might be there's only that much missing, and she won't let that stand. She's going to have it right up to the top. And God is, "You keep my cup overfilled. My cup is overflowing. You give me more than I need, God. You provide more than I need." That's what He does for His sheep. "You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life." Think about that. Goodness is after you. If you're His sheep, goodness is following you wherever you go. When you head out in the morning, you head out to work or school or whatever place you go, goodness is following you. His goodness and love. Some translations say mercy. The Hebrew word is chesed. It's love. It's mercy. His kindness, your goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life. There'll never be a time when it doesn't. He's always following you with His... He's pursuing you with His goodness and His love. will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You dwell in His presence. You dwell in His house forever. In Psalm 91:1, God tells us, He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. If you're His sheep, you're dwelling in His house. Goodness and mercy and love are following you every day, everywhere you go. And you're in the house of the Lord. Wherever you go, He's dwelling. You're in His dwelling. And he who dwells in that shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Whatever you come against, you're resting in God's shadow. And so if you're a sheep this morning, act like one. You are guided. Act like it. You're protected. Act like it. You're provided for. Act like it. What do you see when you look in the mirror? That's what you'll act like. Let God define what you see. His precious, treasured possession and His sheep.